they were going to that. And so, anyway, that really does make you feel even more of a kindred spirit when someone's trying to win someone to the Lord, just like you are. And so, that's good. So, but we're going to beat them to it. No. I told others I do hope that actually that they would get saved this past week at their vacation Bible school, just because they're so much closer, and be neat to see them become a part of that church. But see what the Lord does. So. All right, anyone else? Praise or prayer requests? Yes, sir, Dwayne. Okay, so pray for Dwayne's brother. Traveling, not traveling, moving. Okay, so they will be traveling, but in preparation for moving. So pray for your family. All right, and the others. Yes, good to see you. Yes. Okay, yes. All right, so we pray for Sandy on the 15th and pray for Alan till then. So definitely be in prayer. Good to see you today, and glad you're able to make it. We've been missing you. And so, yeah, but the 15th is a long time away. We'll pray that the Lord will keep you going until then, and that the surgery on the meniscus will go well. So, all right, anyone else? Yes, Charlie? Mm-hmm. Cancer, yeah. Okay, so Charlotte, praising the Lord for a good week, but asking prayer for her family, Rebecca, with the cancer. Don't know how much longer she has, but we'll continue to pray for God's grace upon her. So, yeah. All right, Angela? Good. Well, glad to hear that I've seen some notable improvements. That's always, feel bad for those little babies. They don't even, they're in pain, and they just, that's just life for them, you know. Like, oh, man, they should have. Very good. All right, anyone else to add to these? I'll add one. Let's pray for Brenda Lawrence. She fell yesterday and said, they're thinking that possible that she broke her hip again. So that's not good. So be in prayer for her. I'd like to go down and visit her this afternoon. So just, I think she's in Joplin is what I, where she was going to be taken. So very good. All right. Okay, yes. Okay, very good. So yeah, we're praying for Owen as he's been at camp and going to traveling to Canada and back. So we'll pray for them to have a safe drive. So it's good. All right. Yes, Elsa. Oh yeah. Well, you get five per person. So no.
Okay. Oh. It's not a good time to break it.
Oh.
So we just have to buy a new tractor. So one thing is that it will be a good one to do and be a good one. And then just yesterday, Jenny and Isaiah were all day trying to get the mower going. And there we have to continue to do it on Monday.
Okay. Oh.
And so weather seems fixable. So. And then. One of my niece, young, I think she's going to go with that. They just found out stage 4 cancer. So, yeah. And they already know her parents from Paraguay. She's in Canada.
Okay.
From Paraguay, they're there right now to support her. And so they're looking and figuring out all the treatments and so on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I was specifically asking whether she and her husband were safe, and yes, the sister, you know, other needs she could call and tell
Oh, good. That's very encouraging. So.
You still? We don't have any children.
Wow, so she's pretty young.
Yeah, and then the 30s. So
30s.
She was not the youngest when we got married.
Okay. Okay, wow. All right, so pray for Jerry and Isaiah as they're working on getting a mower, and then the purchase of a tractor will prove to be have the Lord's blessing upon it. And then also pray for their niece that's been diagnosed with cancer and sounds like it's pretty advanced. So we'll pray the Lord will meet their needs. Praise the Lord that they are saved. So it's good. Yes, Ashley?
And also, I have a lot of comparison. I wanted to encourage him, though. Cameron took one of the higher hanging places in the scripture memory.
Oh, well, good.
And so he did an excellent job, and I like to encourage him to continue doing it.
Oh, that's neat. That's good. Well, praise the Lord. Excellent. Yes? Yeah, that's good. Praise the Lord. That is an answered prayer. So we're excited for that. I'm glad you guys had a good time. So glad to see Jeremiah here today. So, all right, very good. Anyone else? Add to these. Prayer request or praise? Yes, go ahead, Jan.
I have prayed
Okay. Good.
And she has asked Joy to come to church, and Joy just emphatically said no. And we neither one of us knows why. He said she'll find out.
Okay. Okay.
But I said, just for me to have wisdom on how to approach her, because I don't know why she was so emphatic.
Interesting. Okay. Well, getting quite an outreach there going on in your place. So we're praying for Dee, for her salvation. And now she needs to get saved first before she brings other people to church. So no, that's a good problem to have, one to bring in Joy. So we'll pray for Joy that she'll come and the Lord will open up that door for her as well. Okay, all right. So there's a need there.
She had been very sick.
Okay, wow.
And so they allowed her to get out of the hospital, and then all her family helped move her in and get everything straightened out for her. And she has her ups and downs too. So.
Okay. All right, so we'll pray for Joy and for Dee. Chip, did I see your hand? Yes, go ahead. Okay. Okay. All right. Two big prayer requests there. So he's praying for a more consistent job, and also for himself and others in his family that are dealing with some car troubles. Those can be pretty frustrating. So pray the Lord will. A lot of times God wants us to call out to Him, and He loves to meet those needs, so it's good. All right, anyone else to add to these? Oh, yes, sir. Thanks for the update. Yeah, we prayed at the men's. Oh, okay. All right. So prays for Kaylee moving the cattle, and pray for Kelsey. She's not feeling well today, so. All right. Any others? Yes, Martha?
My friend Myrtle.
Oh, no.
She's very depressed.
Okay.
And this morning she said that she won't be here all very long because she has no reason
to leave. Oh, wow. Well, we've been praying for Myrna, and we need to continue that. She's, thank you for that update in terms of the need that she has. And so pray for her that a bit of hopelessness has set into her life. And so pray that she would look to Jesus and we might be able to point her in that direction. So thanks for sharing that, Mark. Let's continue to pray for the Davises. They're in Minot, North Dakota, and gave an update of they had some difficulty on the way getting there. Their windshield started coming detached from their vehicle. So they had to try to get that duct taped and then drive and make it in. So they have the adventures of the Davises, but they've seen some souls saved. And so just praising God for the work there. And then also continue to pray for Deanne. We miss her being able to be here. So keep her in your prayers. She's still with every day of rehab, feels like you go backwards and stiffness and things like that, but it's stretching it out. And then also you can pray for us as we go into the nursing home this afternoon as we give out the gospel there. It'll be effective, so that'd be good. So, anyone else to add to these? All right, I'm going to go to Dale first, then I'll get to Roger. Okay. So if we see you breaking out in hives, we'll know what happened. So pray for Dale getting shots in his back, get some relief. Yes, sir, Roger. Amen. All right. So pray for this possibility of a Bible study with the unsaved son-in-law. So that would be good. Pray to that end. That'd be neat. Just add a prayer request here, but the Druze, I don't know if you're familiar with them or not. I don't know much about them, but they're in Syria and in Lebanon and in Israel, and they are kind of a wacky, but they're non-Islamic, but they've got their own aspects. But there's been a lot of genocide going on this past week on those people, and so it's been in the news, been concerned. I hate to see the things that are going on there. And then, while I was, we got a publication from a missions organization, and right on the front cover was The Light to the Druze. I thought, well, what's this about? So I was already interested, so I started reading about it, and there was just someone who had come, who moved into Lebanon, and he was going around just going door to door, trying to help meet stuff, humanitarian need, but also try to give the gospel to people. And he met a sheik there, and he said, he was quoting a Bible verse, and it says the sheik finished the Bible verse for him. And he said, I revere the words of Jesus Christ. And he said, I found a New Testament in the trash can, and I pulled it out, and I dusted it off, and I've been reading it ever since. And he was able to go inside, they welcomed him in, and they were able to lead him to the Lord. And so it's just neat to hear about, in the moments of God, he's like a plow. He's turning over the soil so that the seed of the Word of God can get down into these hearts. So be in prayer for the gospel outreach amongst the Druze people and just the that God would spare them in terms of the genocide that's taking place there. So it's just awful. So just heard of a pastor, I don't know, in terms of it's an evangelical church amongst the Druze, but he and 22 other people of his family were found dead in their home. So they were just completely slaughtered. So just terrible things that are happening there. So okay. Anyone else? Yes. Oh. Hmm. Okay. All right. So we have a man employee that is in a coma. That's always, you never know in terms of how much they can understand. And we'll pray that God will use that in terms of their raise him up and answer their prayers in regards to this. So we'll pray and join you in that. So, yes, Jenny? Oh, okay. Well, good. Well, praise the Lord for that. And Jenny's just praising God. They're in the process of moving. Maybe be finalized, quote unquote, this week, possibly. Praising the Lord for those that have been able to help. It's what we want to do, show the love of Christ to each other. So, all right. Anyone else? These are good. We got a good list of things to pray for one another, but we can still add something else. Yes. Amen. 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 That's good. I haven't been everywhere in this country, but Florida is one of the most dangerous places to drive, I think. So, yeah, we are glad that James made it back safely. Praise the Lord for that, too. So, good. Anyone else? Yes, Angela? Okay, all right, we'll be in prayer for Amy and them as they travel and passport needs. So. All right, anyone else before we go to the Word? All right, very good. Well, we'll take our Bibles and we'll turn to Romans chapter 16. It's coming down to the last 2 weeks in our study in Romans, and we'll go ahead and read from verse 17, I believe it was, to the end of the chapter, Romans 16. All right, anybody need a little bit more time? All right. Just a little bit of review. We're coming down to the last words in the book of Romans, and this is a powerful, full, doctrinal book, and the last things that are going to be said here we would imagine to be very important. And so we are looking to see, to plumb the depth of the importance of what he says here. And this is a doxology, as we looked at last time. It's to him be glory. So it starts off in verse 25. The verb is found in verse 27 with to God, the only wise, identifying him again. And everything from the beginning of verse 25 to verse 26 is filling a description of who God is. And this description of God is absolutely essential for our lives. And so when we come to this, he says, to him that is of power. So when he comes to the last part, the thing he's going to emphasize is God has a mighty power, and that power is specifically to establish you. And we saw last time that this occurs, that his desire at the beginning of the book was that he could come so that they might be established in the faith. And now at the end, he's saying he's praising God because he has the power to do the very thing that he wanted God to do through his ministry. And we've been looking at it, and we started looking at different verses of Scripture, and we saw in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and in James, different words that talking about the prayers that this word occurs in, this aspect or commands to establish your heart. And so we looked at what that word means. It means to be fixed or made stable, to made firm, to hold your ground, to be steadfast. And so when we looked at the other references last time, we saw that it's to be firmly grounded in your belief. So that you're not wondering back and forth. You know the truth, but was it only in belief? It's a yes or no question. Maybe we need to go back and review these scriptures, because I'm afraid I don't want you just to hear them. I want you to know them. He says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. So it's not just only your faith in terms of your belief, it's also your behavior. So that God wants you to be firmly established, fixed in what you believe and in how you live. And now we begin to, as we were looking at this and we started looking at different examples, and that's kind of how we ended, was giving some examples of people who were not established, who faded away, drifted. And we begin to realize that this is no small thing that God wants to do. In fact, when he says he's going to establish you in terms of faith or belief and behavior, we're talking about the finishing work of God in your life. When you're in heaven, you're going to be established. And God is working that into our lives. And so this is God's desire for the Christian. This is the goal of the book of Romans. This is what the gospel will do for you. It will establish you. And it's God's power. So remember, we start at the beginning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Here is the power revealed to establish you. Now we're going to look at a few other verses of Scripture to kind of help us to begin to just feel like a mountain is, we're ascending this height of saying how important this really is. So if you'll hold your place in Romans, we can turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22 we're going to read here. Colossians 1, verse 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. So this is God who is doing this work. He is reconciling it by Jesus Christ, making peace. He says, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you. So he's applying this specifically. God's plan of reconciliation is to reconcile the entirety of the creation and to bring it, be restored. But he wants specifically, it begins with believers. You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. So how did he reconcile you to God? Jesus Christ, in bodily human flesh, died upon that cross so that you and I could have peace with God. And here is the purpose: to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So God has a purpose that he wants you to be able to stand before God's throne, and everything about you is exactly the way God wants it to be. That's what God can do. But he says, verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded, and here's our word, and settled. So there's an aspect that says, what the gospel will do for you, it will ground you and it will settle you in your life. And a complete absence of this, of being grounded by the gospel, so that if someone moves away from the hope of the gospel, as he says here, not being moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, if someone does that, they are not going to stand before God holy, just, and unblameable before him. There's an aspect, as people want to ask the question, does that mean you can lose your salvation? I say no. The Bible never teaches that you can lose your salvation that God's given to you. It just means you had a facade. And you say, is that possible? Well, he says there's going to be people who stand before him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Did we not do mighty works in your name? So yes, I think there is a possibility that there's going to be people there that are a facade. And that part of what is demonstrates whether someone is that they move away from the gospel. Does that mean they woke up one night and said, you know what, I don't believe this stuff anymore? Woke up one morning, I should say. That may be the case for some, but oftentimes where we track these things happening is it's a slow drift. I tell you, I have a friend. I haven't seen him in some time. I guess I won't mention his name. Because these things are broadcast, and he may look on it, but if he knows who it is in terms of not saying anything, but it was just it's a sad situation. He went through a very difficult time. We moved when we bought our first house in Greenville, South Carolina. We were excited because we were going to be 1 mile away from him and his wife, and they had a little boy, and we were expecting, and God was working, and so we thought. I trained him on Bob Jones campus at the public safety, so we worked together. We were in the same society. No, we weren't in the same society. I tried to get him to join my society. I really liked him, sharp young man, and still to this day. But I would say I can't even explain it. His wife was an encouragement to my wife. We wouldn't go over to their house, but she didn't have a verse of scripture to share of what God was doing. And he calls me up to the absolute shock of myself and saying, my wife and I are getting a divorce. My wife doesn't believe the gospel. And she rejected it, made it public, made it on Facebook and things, just completely rejected the faith. She grew up in a Christian church. After 20-some years, rejected it all. She's not saved. And that can happen. This is crucial, to be grounded and settled by the gospel. And that's why he says here that he would establish you according to my gospel. It means that the gospel is the very means that God uses to establish someone. But it also, part of this is the idea that the gospel teaches you to be established. The gospel points forward to a way. It is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, this is the good news. You can be established. You can be fixed. I don't know how to tell you this, but my greatest fear in my life, from the time that I can earliest remember it, from being about 12 years old, is that I would fall away from the Lord. That I would fall into sin. That I would reject His word. That I would choose the path of pleasure rather than God's holy word. And so there's an aspect that says, when it says He can establish you by the gospel, that's good news. I want to end the race well. Because it's not how you finish. I mean, sorry, it's not how you start. You know what I mean. I say the wrong thing just to see if you're listening, right? Anything less than being established in the gospel is sub-Christian. Let me take you to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Another verse of Scripture that will help us. To find our word here, but we'll begin in verse 15. He says, "An account, the long suffering of the Lord is salvation." We're going to be waiting and waiting and waiting for the Lord to come back. And some people are going to say, "Where is He?" And they're going to mock and they're going to scoff. And that's going to be a characteristic of the last days. But he says, you know what? When God's waiting, he's telling you, why is He doing it? He's waiting so that more people can be saved. He says, this is what we were taught by our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom that given unto him hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. We say, I agree. There are hard things to understand. He says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. The idea of that word rest is the aspect of putting something on the rack and twisting it and pulling it. You ever seen someone take a verse of Scripture and start nibbling at it and pulling at it and tugging it? And all of a sudden, when you're on the rack, you're trying to get someone to confess. Trying to get someone to say something. And you can get that Scripture to say something it never meant to say. Because you pulled on it and twisted it and get to that place where he says that person's unlearned. And he says, as they do also with the other Scriptures. You can tell someone who is unstable by how they handle the Scriptures, the Word of God. Do I come to it underneath it and just allow it to teach me? Or is it underneath me? And I say, you know what? This book has to make sense to my mind. And if it doesn't make sense what God says, then I kind of back away from it. And many times when you come to doing theology or trying to understand the comparing Scripture with Scripture, the only way you can do that is you've got to have a good breadth of knowledge of the Word of God. That's why we need to be reading it. Over and over and over and over again, because you're going to hear someone say something and they're going to say, aha, look at this Scripture right here. And someone can pull out a verse of Scripture and say, let me read it to you. See, you have to be baptized to be saved. There's going to be some verses of Scripture that sound, that sounds pretty close to that. And you say, but do you understand the context of doctrine? Do you understand the arguments of whole books of the Bible? And we understand. We're going to come to a verse like that in Peter. It's going to be a couple years from now. But in chapter 3, when we get there, it's going to be good in terms I'm looking forward to studying that out. But he's talking about by which baptism doth also now save us. Those are the words of Scripture. What does that mean? We need to know it in its context. Someone can take something else over here and say, aha, see this right here? I was just talking with someone that was pointing out the fact that the word Elohim is plural wherever you find it, whether it's uppercase God or lowercase gods, or whether it refers to spirits or even to judges in Psalm 89. And all of a sudden you've got one fact of information that you can now go over here and say, aha, what does that mean? Oh. And now you can get over to a place where you begin to call into question monotheism. How do you get to that place? Well, you've got one, I got something from the scripture, but you begin to twist. You got to understand everything in its context. And you say, that's a big job. It is a big job. You've got to know God's word backwards and forwards. And I marvel over and over again at saying, wow, man, how many times I'm about ready to, many times I've heard it described like this. Theology is like walking on a balance beam. One step to the left and you're in error. And one step to the right over here and you're in error. But you've got to stick right to what the scripture says in its totality. There are people that deny the Trinity because they step over here. And they say, well, that doesn't make sense. Or I see this clearly, that there certainly is one God, and they deny that there's three persons. They have to find some way to reconcile that in their mind. And so just this aspect here, we need to understand. Wait, we haven't finished the verses here. I'm getting off. Going and going and going. All right. Verse 17. Oh, yeah, I want to finish verse 16. Unto their own destruction. Those that are unlearned and unstable, when you twist the scriptures, it destroys you. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There's our word. You're established. You're firm. I want to take you to one other passage of scripture here. I think I do. I'll give you a couple of illustrations. That's always helpful in between. Now, don't shoot me, but we're going to look at two different illustrations here. I'm going to read to you from an interview that Robert Schuller did back in the early 1990s, I think it is, with... So Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral is interviewing Dr. Billy Graham. And he asks this question to him. He says, what do you think is the future of Christianity? Dr. Graham responded with these words, I think there's a body of Christ that comes from all the Christian groups around the world outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, is a member of the body of Christ. I don't think we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ. I think James, the Apostle James, answers this in the first council in Jerusalem when he said that God's purpose for this age is to call out a people for his name. And that's what God is doing. He's calling out this world. A people, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think they are saved, and they're going to be with us in heaven. Is that biblical? No, it's not. And a man that's been used mightily of God to see many people saved can drift doctrinally and come to a place. And sometimes that, I'm not here to speculate in terms of why sometimes that can happen. Sometimes someone who's very, very intent on seeing people saved in evangelism can be that burden. To see people saved can be so great that you want to see, obviously struggling with the reality of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, because it's a narrow way, and there's few that be there that find it. And we want to broaden that way. We want there to be many people to come, and God has a heart for the whole world. God has a love for them. And yet there is a scripture verse that says, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You're not saved if you do not know the name of Jesus. The reality says, what about all those people who have never heard? Yeah, we ought to really think about what that means for us. That ought to motivate us for evangelism. Because the reality is they are going to hell. And if we teach something like this, there'll be few people motivated to go. You know, see, we have a flesh, and we recognize that our flesh gravitates towards sin. There are certain sins, and maybe all different for each one of us, that are a besetting sin. You dangle it in front of you, and you kind of lean towards that way. You say, oh man, I don't want to go that way. But you know in your heart, I'm weak. I have a flesh. But in the same way that our flesh gravitates towards moral sin, the fleshly mind also gravitates towards error. You know what? That sounds good. That sounds kind. That sounds loving. And to the fleshly mind, we'll be willing to accept error, and we must know the truth of God's Word. Many times, there's an aspect of, we have real struggle. I think there's an aspect of, because we don't know the Word of God thoroughly, and something doesn't sit well with us, I don't think that sounds right to me. It's not for us to reason our way to what we believe is right. We must accept what the Bible says to be true. And you know what can happen to individuals? Can happen to whole groups of people. Institutions. Fellowships. Denominations. And there's an aspect to which the history of the Christian church has been one of watching over time drift after drift after drift. And what we have to say is, we don't want it to happen here. Right? Does that burden your heart? Do we not see that need? And we say, then what we need is the power of God to establish us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what we need to know? We need to know the book of Romans. Doesn't that make you excited? Say, if I will know this book and go back over it and go back over it so it's a part of my heart and my life, the Word of God's not out there, but it's within my heart. It is the very tool that He will use to make sure that we're established. It's this book, the preaching of God's Word, that's going to hold us firm. It's like an anchor. It dropped the anchor outside of a boat, and the waves sure boisterous this way and that way, right? But you know that the boat might be rocking. It's not going anywhere. It's not going out to sea. It's firm. It's established. You know what? That can also reflect our own individually aspect. You know, in terms of, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian and to be stable? Now, do we not have ups and downs in our lives? Do we wake up tired? Do we not feel good? Sometimes we've got physical things that are going on in our bodies that make us feel down. Maybe we're sick. We have a lot to overcome, but there is something in terms of emotional stability, right? Where someone is way up here and then way down here. And some of that has to do with personality. I have some children like that. It's the best day ever. It's the worst day of my life. I've heard that their words on the very day. They're up, they're down. Obviously, but they're not saved yet either. So, wait a second. Little Lydia. I think she may be. She's given some indication. So, but she needs to grow, right? She needs to be established by the truth of God's Word. That, you know what? David had some difficult times, but it says he strengthened himself in the Lord. It's in the hope of the gospel. That's like a ballast. Something tries to push us down, boop, we pop back up. Here we are. Yes, we go down, but we're going to be steady. We're going to be firm. And it's God and His Word that establishes us day by day by day. So this, in terms of mentally, emotionally, every aspect of our person, our actions. Let's see here. Oh, I am out of time. You know, I'm out of time. Sometimes you just got to know when to throw in the towel. Can I finish it all by next week? I think so. I think so. So we'll look at a few more. We need to get through some of the specifics of this as we pull back. What is it? The gospel and the preaching of Christ. We're going to relate those two together. And I think that's going to be a tremendous blessing to us as we look towards this. But I hope it does encourage us to say, I'm so thankful we know this book better. And I want to know it better. I want to know the gospel. I want to read God's word daily so that I can be established. And God has the power to do that. That's good news for us today. All right, you're dismissed. Thank you.